بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Before we begin, there's a few questions that others have inquired about. First is the size of excusable impurity. So it is impurity on one's body or clothing. Then the size that's excused is 2.75 centimeters in diameter. This is the size of 1 dirham. It's approximately 2.75 centimeters. Or 8.64 centimeters in circumference, or 5.94 centimeters squared in area. Another important masala, we mentioned that it's necessary to hear oneself in salah, so the entire salah, especially the qiraat, takbir tahrima, it's necessary to be able to hear oneself. So that's the extent of how loud the voice should be. If one was in a quiet room, in a silent room, and he had to read in such a manner that he could have heard himself. So sometimes there'll be some noise. It's not necessary to scream to hear oneself in that case. You only read so loud that if you were in a quiet place, you would have been able to hear yourself. Other questions others had inquired about, I've discussed it the other day, just repeat it again, that interest money, if a person has interest money, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين. Allah says, O believers, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have taqwa, and leave out whatever riba was already owing to you. إن كنتم مؤمنين, if you are true believers. فإن لم تفعلوا فأذنوا بحرب من الله ورسوله. And if you do not do so, you do not cancel your riba transactions, you still engage in interest, riba, giving or taking, then be warned. Be aware of war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aakila riba wa mukilahu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the person who accepts riba, who takes riba, wa mukilahu, the person who gives interest to riba, wa katibahu wa shahideh. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also cursed the person who records an interest transaction. Even that person who witnesses an interest transaction taking place, that person is also cursed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَهُمْ فِيهِ سَوَىٰ All of them are equal in sin. Even if he buys such an evil transaction, that even the person who witnesses it, who just sits there and witnesses the transaction taking place, he is also cursed. And then if someone has interest money, somehow he had a given someone a loan and that person paid him back with interest in the past, or he had accumulated some interest in his bank account, then this interest actually belongs to the person who had paid it. So it's necessary to return this interest to the giver. This wealth a person has with him is without any haqq. This is haram wealth for him. If it is not possible to return it to the giver, sometimes the bank, it's impossible to go and give them this money. You're not going to accept anything randomly. Then you give it away to a poor person without the intention of sadaqah. And this is as though you're giving sadaqah on behalf of the person who had given the interest. And similarly, it's not permissible to utilize this money for social work, buildings or schools, madrasas or even toilets. It's a requirement that the poor be made the owner of this money. So this money has to be given to the poor without any intention of thawab. The ulama mentioned that if one intends thawab from this money because it's haram money, then it's fear of kufr for him. And it's not permissible to pay for any proper fee which a person has to pay for, any service a person receives. So it's not permissible to pay for any commission, stamp duty, custody fee, brokerage fee, admin fees, fines, levies, or any bank fees. Because these are all legitimate charges that a person has to pay from his own wealth. And then if a person received a loan from a bank, if he had some interest money from a certain bank, and now he is paying interest to this bank, he took a loan from this bank and he's paying the bank interest. So this interest money that was received from the same bank, he can use it to offset the interest that he's paying the bank. Because in this way, he's giving the bank the interest money back. Although both the transactions are not permissible. It's not permissible to accept interest, not permissible to give interest. Thank you. Traffic times tax. The reason you can't use interest, there is one or two muftis that say it's permissible. But the reason it's not permissible is traffic fines, you can say taxes. Most of them are oppressive taxes. So according to Sharia, you're not liable to pay those taxes. But by paying the tax, you're warding off some harm that would have come to you. So if you hadn't used the interest money, you would still have to pay from your own money. So you are getting some type of benefit on this money. It's not permissible to take any type of benefit. So although there are one or two muftis that say in certain cases it can be used, but interest, most muftis agree it can't be used for anything. The way to make it permissible to use for building toilets and things, to give it to a poor person and then ask him, once it's his in his possession, then you ask him to... Let's start with some sunnats from the Kitab of Hazrat Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtasab Rahimahullah. Some sunnats of eating. So spread out a cloth on the floor. Wash both hands up to the wrists. Recite Bismillah aloud. Eat with the right hand. The one who is most pious or senior from those eating should be made to commence eating first. If only one type of food is in the utensil, eat from the side in front of you. If a morsel falls, pick it up, clean it and eat it. Do not lean and eat. Do not find fault with the food. Remove the shoes while eating. Hadith says, مَا عَبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ طَعَامًا قَطُّهُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never found fault or complained about food. إِنِ اشْتَهَاهُ أَكَلُهُ. If he desired the food, if he liked it, he would have ate. وَإِنْ كَرِهَهُ تَرَكَهُ. If he didn't like the food that was presented, it's something he didn't normally eat, then he abstained from eating. He didn't find fault with it or complain about it. When eating, sit either with both the knees raised and the posterior on the ground, or by raising one knee and keeping the other on the ground. A third posture is to sit with both knees on the ground, as is in the position of Qa'da, and lean forward to eat. Clean the plate and other eating utensils thoroughly after eating. The utensils will then make dua for one's forgiveness. To lick the fingers after eating. To recite this dua, Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amana wa saqana wa ja'alana muslimin. Translation, all praise is due to Allah who has granted us food and drink and made us Muslims. First remove the tablecloth, then get up. Recite this dua while picking up the tablecloth. Alhamdulillahi hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi ghayra makfiyin wala muwadda'in wala mustaghnan anhu rabbana. All praise is due to Allah, such praise which is pure, full of blessings. O our sustainer, we are not clearing away this food due to regarding it as sufficient. That is, we do not require anything more from you, nor in the matter of abandoning it, nor do we regard ourselves as being in need of it, as not being in need of it. Then wash both the hands, gargle the mouth. If you forget to recite Bismillah at the beginning, then recite Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu while eating. When invited to partake of meals by someone, then make this dua for the host. Allahumma at'im man at'amani wa sqi man saqani. It's sunnah to partake of some vinegar. That house in which vinegar is found will not be regarded as empty of gravy. If a person uses only wheat to make his bread, he should add a little barley so as to get the reward of acting on his sunnah. To eat meat is sunnah. It is reported in a hadith that the most superior food of this world and the hereafter is meat. To accept the invitation of one's fellow Muslim brother is sunnah. However, if the major portion of his income is some interest, bribery or any other haram source, then his invitation should not be accepted. And if a person doesn't know what his source of income or he has some doubt regarding it, then he shouldn't unnecessarily doubt a person's income. It is sunnah to give food to the family of the deceased. It's less than a majority. Majority of his wealth is here. Next chapter is regarding Qadha Salah from Best is Our Concept. One Ashaq Ali Tanvi Rahimullah. If a person misses a Salah, then on remembering it, he should immediately make Qadha of it. It is a sin to delay offering a Qadha Salah without any valid excuse. If a person misses a Salah and does not make Qadha of it immediately, but delays it to another time or to another day, and then suddenly dies, he will get a double sin, one for missing the salah and the other for not making qadha of it immediately. If a person misses several salah, as far as possible, he should make qada of all. If it is possible, he should make an effort to offer them all at one time. It is not necessary that the qada of dhuhr be offered in the dhuhr time, or that the qada of asr be offered in the asr salah time. If he has to make qada for several months or several years, as far as possible, he should make qada of them as quickly as possible. He should try and offer several qada salahs in one salah time. However, if he is compelled or has no alternative, he should offer one qada salah in one salah time. But this is the bare minimum. There is no stipulated time for qada. Whenever one gets the opportunity, he should make wudu and offer salah. However, one should take the makruh times of salah into consideration. If a person has only one qada salah to offer, and before this he never missed any salah, or he had missed in the past, but he made qada of all of them, then he should offer this one qada salah before offering any other salah. If he offers any other salah without offering this qada salah, then it will not be valid. He must offer the qada salah and repeat the other salah. However, if he completely forgot to offer the qada salah, means he forgot that he has a qada to perform, then the other salah will be valid. When he remembers, he will merely have to offer the qada salah, and it will not be necessary to repeat the other salah. If the time is so short that if he offers the qada salah first, he will miss the other salah, then he should offer the other salah first and then offer the qada salah. This is first two. The time is so short that there is only sufficient time to read the fard or wajib. If a person misses 2, 3, 4, 5 salahs and does not have to read any other salah for the past, that is, from the time he became mature, he did not miss any salah, or if he missed, he made qada of all, then as long as he does not offer these 5 salahs, it will not be permissible to offer any other salah. When he offers these 5 qada salah, he should offer them in the same order as he had missed them. Example, the one that he missed the first should be offered first, and the one who missed second should be offered second, and so on. For example, if the person misses the salah of an entire day, Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, then when he is offering his qada, he should offer it in the same order. First Fajr, then Zuhr, then Asr, then Maghrib and finally Isha. If he does not offer Fajr first, but Zuhr or any other salah, then this will not be proper. He will have to repeat it. If a person never missed a salah from the time he became baligh, or he had missed however many salahs and he made qada of all of them, and he is regarded as sahib-e tartib. So any time he misses one salah, it's not permissible for him to read the next salah until he makes qada of the salah. So if he has to perform the salah of the time and he doesn't make qada of the previous salah which was missed, then the salah won't be valid. So this is as long as a person missed 5 salahs or less. Once he misses six salahs or more, then he won't be regarded as sahib-e tartib anymore. Then he can continue performing his salah, and the qada he can perform. It won't affect his salah that he didn't perform the qada salah first. If a person is to make qada of 6 salahs or more, he can offer any salah without having offered the 6 qada salah. And when he offers these 6 salahs, he does not have to offer them in the order that he has missed. Because once a person misses 6 salahs, he is no more sahib-e tartib. So all these masail don't apply to him. He can offer them in any order that he wishes. It is no longer wajib to offer them in order. Several months or several years have passed, and the person has not offered those 6 or more salahs. However, thereafter he always offered his salah on time and did not allow himself to miss any salah. After all these months or years, he now misses one salah. Even in this case, it will be permissible to read all the other salahs without making qada of those that he missed. When offering these salahs, he does not have to follow any set order. Although the 6 salahs he missed many years ago, he is no more sahib-e tartib because he missed the 6 salahs. A person had to offer 6 or more qada salahs and thereafter did not have to offer them in the order that he missed them. However, he offered these salahs by reading 1 or 2 at a time and thereby completed all of them. Now no salah is left which he has to make qada. Now he is sahib-e tartib again. He has no qada salah to make. If he now misses out 1 to 5 salahs again, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 salahs, lets them become qada, then he will have to make qada of them in the order that he had missed them, and it will not be permissible to offer any other salah without offering these qada salahs first. But if he misses out 6 salahs or more again, then once again he will be excused from offering them in the order that he missed them. Then he will again no more be sahib-e tartib. He will also be able to offer other salahs without having offered this qada salahs first. A person has many qada salahs to offer. He commenced offering them and gradually completed all of them, with the exception of 4 or 5. it is not wajib to offer these four or five salahs in order. So a person had 100 qada salahs, and slowly he performed them until he got four salahs, four qadas left. But he's still not sahib-e-tarkib until he completes all the qada salahs. So until he completes all, he still has the, can perform them in whatever order he wishes. He doesn't have to perform them as a Muslim. A person offered only his Isha Salah and slept away. He then awoke for tahajjud, made wudu and offered his tahajjud and witr Salah. In the morning he remembered that he had forgetfully offered his Isha Salah without wudu. He will now have to make Qadha Salah of the Isha only and not the witr Salah. Qadha is only made for the Fard and witr Salahs. There is no Qadha for Sunnah Salahs. However, if a person misses out his Fajr Salah and makes Qadha of it before midday, then he should also make Qadha of the Sunnah of Fajr Salah. And if he makes qada after midday, he should only make qada of the Fard Salah. So there is no qada of Sunnah to Nafil Salah, except the Fajr of the same day. If it is made before midday, then you'll make qada of the Sunnah Salah and the Fajr Salah. If there was very little time left for Fajr, and he therefore only read the Fard Salah, it is preferable to offer the Sunnah Salah after the sun had risen considerably, but he has to read it before midday. A person who rarely used to offer his salahs made tawbah. It will now be wajib for him to make qadha of all the salahs which he had missed throughout his life. By making tawbah, one is not excused from offering salahs. However, by making tawbah, he is forgiven from the sin which he committed by missing out the salah. Now, if he does not make qadha of those missed salahs, the sin will return to him. A person had missed several salahs and did not get the opportunity to make qadha of them as yet. Before the time of his death, it will be wajib for him to make a wasiyyat to pay fidya for all the missed salahs. He will be sinning if he does not do this. The masail relating to giving fidya will be explained later. If several people have missed a particular salah, they should make qadha of it with jama'at. If it is a salah in which qiraat is normally made aloud, then when making qadha, it should also be recited aloud. If it is normally made softly, then it should also be made softly when making qadha. Sometimes a group of people are traveling on a plane and they cannot make salah, then they're not allowed to stand and make their salah. So once they land, they should make jamaat of the qadha salah. If an immature child offers his isha salah and sleeps, so after the break of dawn, he notices traces of money of semen which indicates that he had a wet dream, then the preferred opinion is he should repeat his isha salah. So this is, he wakes up after sunrise, after the break of dawn, then he should repeat isha salah. If he wakes up before the break of dawn and notices traces of money, then all the ulama say that he will have to make qadha of the Isha Salah. Now he became baligh, so he'll have to make. If a person knows how many salahs he must, then he has to make exactly that amount of qadha salahs. If he is not sure exactly how many salahs he must, so he knows over a period of so many years he must so many salahs, then he'll have to estimate approximately how many salahs he must, and then maybe add a few just to be safe that he's covering himself completely. So this estimate will be what he has to perform. Once he performs this estimated amount, then he'll be regarded as sahib-e-tarkib. So he'll have to estimate it, record this amount, and work towards performing all these salahs, qadhas. And when you are making qadha, it's necessary to make intention of performing this, of mentioning the day which salah you must. The easier method is you make intention either in performing the first Fajr Salah which I must, and every day, every qadha you make the same intention. I'm performing the first Fajr Salah which I must and I have not made qadha for. Or first Fajr Salah which qadha is still outstanding. Either the first or the last. And you continue like this until the entire qadha, all the qadha salahs are finished. You have to either specify the day which salah you're making qadha of, or you say either the last one. And once you make that intention, the last one falls off, and the one before that will be the last one. So you continue like. Proper salah. One minimum is one. The salah will be the last. Any other questions relating to salah? Next chapter is regarding zakat, the importance and virtues of zakat. The wealthy are obliged to pay zakat, This too, like salah, is a fundamental of Islam. Numerous Quranic ayat command the payment of zakat and mention the virtues of zakat while warning of the dire punishment for refraining from paying zakat. There are numerous such ayat which mention zakat along with salah. It is simple to locate these verses in the Quran Sharif. Here only ahadith pertaining to zakat will be narrated. In one narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, zakat is the bridge of Islam. Those who do not pay zakat are therefore comparable to those who are stranded, having no bridge to cross. The great rank and fundamental importance of zakat are apparent from this hadith. In the narration of Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whoever owned gold and silver, that is, a person owned wealth which zakat was due upon, but did not pay zakat thereon, he will be punished with his gold and silver on that day, the duration of which will be 50,000 years. It is the day of Qiyamah, the duration will be 50,000 years. His gold and silver will be made into sheets and heated in Jahannam. His sides, forehead and back will be branded with the heated sheets of gold and silver. So his own wealth will be made into sheets and he will be branded with them. When the sheets cool, they will again be heated and he will continue being punished in this manner. Subhanahu wa ta'ala say that. Many ahadith mentioned, no time to read you the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, on the day of Qiyamah, the wealth of one who did not pay zakah will be converted into a monstrous, into a deadly poisonous serpent which will be strung around the neck of this person. The serpent will bite at the jaws of this person and exclaim, I am your wealth, I am your treasure. Saf is not full, and the next saf, there's few people standing. And if you go to the saf in front, you won't miss get the rakat. Preferable to join the saf in the back and get the rakat, or join the saf in the front. The saf in front. The Fuqaha also mentioned that if you don't fill a gap, then the hurmat of your salah, the sanctity of your salah, you placing at risk. If there's a gap in front and someone has to pass you to fill that gap, then you breaking the own, your own sanctity of your salah. So it's better to fill the salah. So normally if a person is eating salah, you're not allowed to walk in front of him unless there's a sutra. But if there's a person is not filling a gap, then you're allowed to walk in front of him to fill the gap, even if it's in front of the person. As Fuqaha mentioned, that he's supposed to be filling the gap. If he's not filling it, he's placing his own salah at risk. So the sin won't be on the person that's going in front of him. The following facts are clear from the foregoing narrations. Zakat is fard. The significance of zakat is very great. Failure to pay zakat results in calamity and misfortune setting on one. The calamity here on earth is depletion of wealth, elimination of barakah, famine, etc. The calamity in the akhirah for not paying zakat is the fire of Jahannam. One who does not pay zakat is comparable to a munafiq. Zakat has a resemblance to hukuk al-ibad, that is the rights of people. Thus it is an emphasized ibadah. A person who denies its compulsion loses his iman. So if a person says that zakat is not fard, then this person loses his iman. However, if he recognizes its compulsion but neglects to pay it, so he recognizes that zakah is compulsory but I am neglectful, I am sinful for not paying it, then he will be termed a fasik, a transgressor. Zakat is fard upon a person if the following conditions are found. One, he is a Muslim. Two, he is an adult, he is baligh. Three, he is sane. Four, he is a free person, he is not a slave. And five, he owns wealth intended for trading to the value of nisab. Furthermore, the wealth should be fully owned by him in excess of his personal needs and possessed by him. And this should be the case at the time of his zakat is due. The wealth should be of a productive nature from which he can derive profit or benefit such as merchandise for business, gold, silver, livestock, etc. There is no zakat on effects that are not of a productive nature, even if these are in excess of one's needs, such as cars, utensils, furniture, etc., if such items are not intended for trade. This will be explained in more detail. The types of wealth on which zakah is fard. Zakah is fard on gold and silver, whether they are in the form of bullion, jewelry, cash, bank notes, utensils, or any other form, whether a person uses it or not, whether they, when they are equal or more than the nisab rate. So as long as a person has gold or silver, cash, bank notes, and the gold or silver can be in any form, whether a person uses it or not, but you will have to pay zakat on it. So nisab of gold is 87.48 grams, and nisab of silver is 612.36 grams. The market price of gold and silver will be taken on the day when the zakat is calculated. Number two, the second type of wealth on which zakat is fard, merchandise for business equal to the value of nisab. When discharging zakat on one's merchandise, then the market value will be taken into consideration. Number three, livestock. If the livestock are for trade, then 2.5% of the total value will be given in zakat. If kept for milking or breeding, then zakat will be calculated on the number. There's a lot of detail to this. For details, refer to the ulama. Zakah is fard on the income of properties if equal to the value of nisab. Income derived from a hiring business such as crockery, motor cars, vans, trucks, etc. If a person, he owns any property or any items for hiring out, or he lets out property, then these items, he doesn't own them with the intention of selling them. So there's no zakat on the item itself, on the property itself. If he has a building which he lets out on rent, he collects rent from it, there's no zakat on the property itself. Zakat is only due on the income once he receives it. The same will apply to a hiring business, person renting out, letting out crockery, motor cars, vans, trucks, etc. There's no zakat on these items because he doesn't have intention of selling them. But zakat will be due on the income. Outstanding cash and loans when repaid and equal to nisab. More detail to this as well. A person owns plots of wealth with the intention of resale. Anything a person buys with the intention of resale, whether it's land, property, or any other items. And here it's important to note that at the time of buying it, he must have the intention of resale. If at the time of buying it, he has the intention of using it for a certain period of time, and then at a later stage he will sell it, or he'll first put the property on the market, he'll let it out for rent for some time, he'll cover some of his costs which he incurred, and then he will sell it. Then there's no, so his immediate intention is not for, to sell it, not to put it on the market. And there won't be zakat on this. And Mahana mentions shares. If the company bought shares with the intention of reselling, zakat will be due on the prevailing market price of the shares. If the shares are of a company that engages in trade, zakat will be due on the value of the share as well as on the profits. If the shares are of a hiring company, zakat will only be obligatory on the profits from the rentals. Regarding removable gold or silver limbs or filling for nose, teeth, etc. If they are removable, then there will be zakat on it. If they are not removable, then there won't be any zakat on it. If a person owns wealth that is contaminated with halal and haram income, then the haram income should be subtracted. If the halal income is equivalent to the nisab, then zakat is payable on the halal income. If the remaining halal funds are not equivalent to nisab, then zakat is not fard. There's no zakat on haram fard. If a person receives interest money, this money doesn't actually belong to him. So there's no zakat on this wealth. Zakat will be saved on money saved in order to perform hajj. Many people save money to perform hajj, to buy a vehicle, to buy a property. There's no zakat. A person has to pay zakat on this because it's not an immediate expense which he has. It's something which he is saving up for. So he has to pay zakat on this wealth. If any income is derived by rental of properties or hiring of crockery, motor cars, vans, etc., then it will only be zakatable if it is one's possession at the time of calculating zakat. In the above mentioned scenario, if the income derived was spent before calculating one's yearly zakat, then such income will be exempted. The next category, types of wealth on which zakat is not fard. Any metal besides gold and silver, fixtures and fittings of a shop, as well as vehicles which are used in running a business. imitation jewelry because of fixtures, fittings, vehicles, machinery a person owns, he's not selling these items. These items are used for the running of the business, so there's no zakat on these items. Stock in trade will be zakat on that. And that stock that you own with the intention of trading. If you have to sell your entire stock at the price, at the time, at the day your zakat is due, you'll consider the value on that day. There's some ikhtilaf on that. Some of these say the retail price. But the preferred view of contra of this is if you take all your stock and you have to sell it to someone, what amount he'll be prepared to pay you for all that stock. That's the amount you'll get. Some of this out of this view. At the moment, the trust account is still being held on your behalf, so it doesn't belong to the owner. And I think it should be zakat on it. As long as the transaction is not done. Once the transaction is done, then you owe this money to the seller. So if the transaction has not been finalized yet, where the bay is concluded, so you, one party makes offer to purchase or to sell and the other party accepts it. Once the sale is done, then either the money is no longer yours, or even if you have the money with you, you owe it to the supplier. It will be counted as a debt that you have to pay someone. The bank, if the transaction doesn't go through, if you don't end up signing the actual transaction doesn't go through, the money is still going to be returned to you. At the moment, the bank or the lawyer is holding it on your behalf. Although you don't have access to it, what might make a difference is the fact that you don't have access to it means zakat is not payable immediately. But once you receive it, you'll have to pay zakat on it. But zakat has to be paid at the moment. Inheritance, zakat is only due on it once you receive it. So if the estate takes 20 years to be distributed, all that past year there's no zakat due on it. You have to. Imitation jewelry, as well as zakat is not farz on imitation jewelry, as well as diamonds, emeralds, rubies, pearls, and other precious or semi-precious stones, including stones that are attached to gold rings, which are for personal use. However, if these items are for resale, any of these diamonds, rubies, precious or semi-precious stones are for resale, then zakat is compulsory. However, if you own them for your own use or keeping them for investment, then there's no zakat on them. Zakat is not farz on one's living quarters, household furniture, crockery, personal clothing, whether a person is utilizing these or not. However, Islam dislikes waste. Zakat is not farz on liabilities which equal or exceed one assets. Zakat is not farz on haram wealth. If the owner of the usurped wealth is known, then the wealth should be returned to the owner. And if he is not known, nor is one able to locate him, then such wealth should be given in sadaqah without any intention of reward. Interest funds accumulated in a banking account, it is wajib to dispose of it to a deserving person without any intention of reward. Or it can be returned to the same financial institute from where it was acquired. So it can't be returned to another bank. So if a person got it from one bank, he cannot give this interest to another bank. Zakat is supposed to be when it's due, it's supposed to wait. I don't get it. No, then the zakat still remains compulsory. So it has to be distributed. So if you don't give it out on the date you're supposed to give it, you still have to give it. If someone hasn't given zakat for previous years, you'll have to calculate the zakat for each year and you'll still have to give that zakat. One exception to accepting interest on the bank is if the bank is owned by the government. If it's a government state-owned bank, generally in India and Pakistan this is common. If it's a state-owned bank, then in view of the taxes which you are paying, the unjust taxes, in view of that you can accept the interest money from the bank. Because it's as though you are getting your right, the state took money from you, which they call taxes over the years, which are unjustified taxes. So in view of that, the person can accept interest from a state-owned bank. And it won't be regarded as interest, it will just be regarded as getting one's own wealth back. Types of wealth on which zakat is not fard. A provident fund until the investment is fully paid out. This is an involuntary provident fund until the investment is fully paid out. Bad debts. If the creditor is unable to retrieve his debt and he lost hope of recovering the money. Note, if a creditor has proof that the debtor owes him money or the debtor confesses that he owes money and the creditor is able to retrieve his money, then such a debt will not fall under the category of a bad debt. Number 10, irremovable gold or silver lumps or filling for the nose, teeth, etc. There's no zakat on this. In the next chapter, how is zakat calculated? The first time a person, this many people don't understand this masla. It's a very common misunderstood masla. The first time a person attains the nisab amount in his life will be the date he will utilize to calculate his zakat every year. Exactly one lunar year later, he will see whether he possesses the nisab amount or not. If he does, then he will now have to pay zakat on all the zakatable assets which he owns, even if he had them in his possession for less than a year. For example, Zaid received 10,000 rand on the 5th of Rajab, and the nisab is 4,000 rand. 1 year later, on the 4th of Rajab, he will count his assets. If he has more than 4,000, he will now have to calculate his zakat and pay on all zakatable assets, even if he received extra money a few days before. On this date, if one has less than a nisab, then no zakat will be fard on him. If one has forgotten the date, then he should try to remember the date. Whatever date the mind is convinced with should be selected. If no date comes to mind, one should nominate any date of the lunar year calendar. However, a person should, as a precaution, give a bit extra money for any shortfall that may occur. If during the year the wealth of a person decreased below the nisab amount, then this will not affect the zakat. If one had possessed nisab on a certain day of the lunar year, and exactly a year later he has nisab, then zakat will be compulsory on him. However, if a person spends all his wealth, or it is stolen, all his wealth is stolen, whereby his zakatable assets and cash are nil, so he owns no zakatable assets, then he will be absolved of his responsibility of paying zakat. So his zakat year, although it started on a certain date, he had zakat nisab, so his zakat year started. And then after 1-2 months, during the course of the year, his possessions decrease to an extent that he owns zero zakatable assets. Then his zakat year will only start, his zakat year has terminated, he doesn't have a zakat year. The next time he receives zakat amount, his zakat year will start on that date. So on the 1st of Muharram, person had zakat nisab, he had 15,000 there. After 1 month, he lost all his wealth. Oh, Allah protect us, but the person lost all his wealth. He doesn't own any zakatable possessions. So he's, now the next year on the 1st of Muharram, the person has zakatable wealth, there's no zakat on him. Because his previous, the year when his zakat year started was nullified when his possessions reached zero. But the next time he receives zakat amount, his year will start again. So now on the 1st of Ramadan, he receives another 15,000 and now he's zakatable. So his zakat year will only start on this date. Yes, many people misunderstand this Muslim. And the person, if he becomes baligh, while he owns a nisab amount, then that day he became baligh will be his zakat year will start on that year. He doesn't have the choice of choosing any other day of the year. Many people, they choose the 1st of Ramadan or 27th of Ramadan to be their zakat year. But this is incorrect.
Wait.
of being of such a financial position that you have to pay zakat. So you got more than a zakatable amount when it comes to zakatable assets. Only if your assets are, your zakatable assets reach zero, then your zakat year restarts. You're totally in debt. Your zakat year will only start again once you get the zakat nisab. So until that stage, your zakat year has been nullified. The date doesn't exist.